Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Welcome to Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you're able to join us again today. We're grateful that this is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. So again, thank you for joining us, and let's begin today in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our continued conversation regarding mobilizing and equipping people to do evangelism and how to begin reaching your community. And so let's begin in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for equipping us, calling us to do evangelism, and pray, Father, that as we mobilize, as we pray, as we emphasize evangelism in our church, that many will be obedient to your Great Commission, and that they will obey your word when it pertains to evangelism, and that they will seek and save the lost as you commanded. Pray, Father, that you'll be with us today, and ask that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, once again, I'm so glad you joined us. I want to begin by reading an article that I found today on AOL, and this is a form of evangelism that somebody has come up with, since we're discussing evangelism, as we always do. But also, we were talking about how to mobilize the church to do evangelism, and what we see today is that a lot of the techniques, a lot of the approaches have become worldly. And what I mean by worldly is that we're emulating what the world is doing to get the attention of the people and to stimulate the mind or to entertain the people. We in the church who are doing evangelism are doing the same thing. But what we do is we try to label it as being Christian. Now, here's an example, and you'll find this under Fight Church. There's a gentleman who has come up with a form of evangelism where martial arts and worshiping Jesus aren't just two subjects one expects to see convalescing. They are apparently this robust movement of martial arts, MMA fighters within America, diverse Christian community. And so it's a documentary called Fight Church, where it's these Bible-believing Christians or individuals, let me say individuals, and churches are engaging in violence. And what we're talking about is they're emulating the fighting that goes on in the cages. And so the Fight Church goes beyond merely exploring Christians who enjoy engaging in personal fighting. Instead, it also explores the ministry that train and equip these church members to fight. And as they have when given the opportunity, they also witness to the person that they either were just beaten up by, or they were or someone they just defeated. Now, this particular film follows several pastors and popular fighters in their quest to reconcile their faith with a sport that many consider to be violent and barbaric. And so what they're doing is their faith is tried and questioned, and questions are raised. And so I think one of the questions, can you really love your neighbor as yourself and then punch him in the face, is one of the questions that's asked in the film. And so what they're showing various clips, you can go online to watch the clips, you can watch the people fighting. and them palming their opponent. Now, the thing is that they say that Jesus was a fighter, and they're attempting to justify what they're doing regarding this inner fighting or this ring fighting and the violence that is being portrayed in this particular documentary. Now, let me just tell you, nowhere in Scripture do you find that kind of evangelism. Nowhere in Scripture are we encouraged to fight and then to witness to someone. You know, actually, when you look throughout Scripture, you see Jesus says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Or when you're robbed or something like that, Jesus says that you are to turn the other cheek. So you don't find that in the Bible. And again, these forms and methods of evangelism fly in the face of what the Bible teaches us to do. And instead of just preaching the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians, and let me turn to it so I don't misquote it, but according to 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible tells us that since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So it's the foolishness in the preaching of the gospel that leads to salvation, that leads to people being saved. And so it's a very simplistic, and people find it hard to believe, that all we need to do is to go out and preach the gospel, and then people get saved. They find it hard to believe that you don't have to add anything to God's word or add anything to the working of the Holy Spirit for people to get saved. And this is the reason why we see this bike church, or we see the cowboy churches or the biker churches, we see the tattoo churches, we see the various forms of evangelism where we have to add something to it. We have to entice the flesh in order to encourage people to come. And when you look in the book of Acts, for example, I want us to turn there today. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, because we see that in the book of Acts, we see the church being formed. And in Acts chapter 5 here, you have Peter and some of the disciples were preaching the gospel, and they were arrested by the officials, and they were thrown in prison. And when they came back to get Peter, that Peter was miraculously delivered by the angels that appeared to him, and they were out on the street again preaching Christ. And it says that that when they continued to preach Christ, that before they were beaten, that there was a meeting where Gamaliel stood up and he began to expound on the men who had come before them that were preaching their own philosophy. And he gave an example about a couple of different men who were able to establish some followers, but once those individuals perished, then their men were scattered. And he reminds them that, in fact, these men are preaching the one true God, then they'll, in fact, be fighting against God himself. So what they did was that they took the advice of Gamaliel, and instead of locking these men up, what they did, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus and release them. And in verse 41 of chapter 5, it says, "And they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name." And then this is the thing I want us to understand. How did the church begin to expand? How did they begin to grow? Well, based on Acts chapter 5, and this is the reason why, equipping and mobilizing, because remember, Jesus had trained his disciples. He had trained Peter. He had trained these men to share the gospel over 3.5 years. He had discipled them. He equipped them. He mobilized them. And then he sent them out. And in verse 42, it says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, of course, we know that Paul, when he entered into a city, he went to the synagogue, and the Bible says that the gospel is for the Jew first. So they went to the synagogue to preach the gospel to the Jews. Because remember that Jesus came to not only seek and save the lost, but he came to his own, according to John chapter 1, and his own knew him not. So after the Jews rejected Christ, after they rejected him as Messiah, then we see that the people began to go to the Gentiles. So Peter, of course, there in Acts 10 with Cornelius is where we see Peter being told that what God had determined that was clean for him not to say was unclean. And he was referring to the Gentiles, that now the gospel and the Gentiles were being engrafted in, and the Jews were being cut off because of their rejection of the Messiah. Not all, but those who believe. And the gospel is for anyone who believes. To them, he's given the right to become children of God. So we see here, what were they doing? They were going every day from house to house, and they were preaching and they were teaching Jesus Christ. And so how did the church grow? It grows from the preaching and teaching of the word, that each believer should be engaged, should be taught to how to share the gospel. Because when you look over in chapter 6, it says, and the word of God kept on spreading, it's in verse 7, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So what do we see? As the men were preaching the gospel, as the gospel was being proclaimed house to house in the streets, as they were going door to door, and some people do not believe in door to door evangelism. Well, obviously, some people do, because when you look at the false prophets, you look at the false religions, the Mormons, you look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, they continue to implement door to door evangelism. And the sad part is that as they're bringing the false gospel, people are believing it, and they are damning multitudes, millions of people to an eternity in hell because of the false prophet. And these are people who want to know the truth. And this is the reason why we're called in Scripture to go out and preach the gospel, because men will know the truth, and the truth will set men free. And Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how do the blind eyes, how are they open? They're open through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. How did this church grow? How do churches grow? It's not through the philosophies of men. It's not through techniques that we are inventing today. It's easier. It's not offensive, what we hear today, to go out and to invite people to church. That's not evangelism. To go out and invite people to programs, that's not evangelism. Evangelism is actually going out and preaching the gospel. Now, in a book written, Total Life Church, by Daryl Robinson, listen to what he says, because even in some of the books you find that they talk about total saturation, and they you know, give you different ways to reach a community, and even in this book they talk about the different forms. I'll mention them in a second, different ways to reach a community. And I don't agree with some of the things that are said and written in a multitude of these modern-day books, because if you go back a number of years, you do not find these types of evangelism, because what we see today is some of these methods of evangelism, are they produce false converts. And as long as you keep giving the people what they want to hear, or giving them what they want, then they'll come. But once the resources dry up, once the entertainment stops, then they'll go away. And what you've got is that you produce a person who thinks they're a Christian, and in actuality, they're not, because they did not endure to the end according to Scripture. So what has he talked about? He said, what did he mention? He says, every person we meet is a possibility for our witness. They may not be prospects for membership in our church, but they are for our witness. Now, what is he saying? Is that these modern-day methods of evangelism want you to become members of their church. Really, that's the most important thing. Not that people get saved, not that they get delivered, not that they come to know Jesus Christ, but that they become a member of the church. And so he's saying here that the prospects and the people that we engage daily may not even come to our church, but that's not our, we don't determine that. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us that God adds to the assembly as it pleases him. And he determines what part belongs to the body. So wherever he says the multitude of members, but every member does not have the same role. And so God is the one who adds to a particular body an important component to make it complete. So he says you cannot witness to the wrong person. Every person you meet is either saved or lost. If they are saved and receive our witness, they will rejoice with you in Christ. If you have found a new brother or sister in Christ. And he says, as I went through the customs in Korea, I handed an official a Billy Graham booklet, Steps to Peace with God. I said, may I share with you the good news about Jesus Christ? He says, Billy Graham wrote this booklet. And I guess Billy Graham had been in Korea, and so many people in Korea had heard of Billy Graham. And he says that the custom official quickly said in English, I am a Christian too. His face lightened with a broad smile, and he extended a brotherly handshake. So what he did, he found a brother. So that's what you do when you're witnessing and you're sharing the gospel. You either find a believer, and they're going to welcome you as a believer. And we had this experience just last week when we were sharing the gospel. We sat down and talked to a husband and wife, the wife more than the husband, and she was ecstatic about the fact of what we were doing. And she actually encouraged us and participated in the, to a certain extent in what we were doing. But when you run across a lost person, you can tell if they reject what you're saying, if they oppose what you're saying, because the Bible talks about us having the mind of Christ. What unifies us is the fact that we can agree on Scripture. So if a person opposes the fact that you're evangelizing or the fact that you're sharing the gospel, in all likelihood, that person is not a believer because of the fact that we are called to go into the world and preach the gospel. He also says, Jesus says, if they're for you, then if they're for you, then that means they're not against you. So they're either going to be for you or to be against you. If the person is lost, he says, he or she needs our witness. They may not respond immediately, or their response may even be negative. Still, he or she needs our witness. So the Holy Spirit will use the witness in spite of the fact that we may never know of the result. So we may never see the outreach. We may never see the growth. We never may never see this person come to Christ or be saved. And I'm just sharing with a brother that we go together every week now to the courthouse here in Toledo, Ohio, every week. We stand in front of the courthouse where you have a multitude of people from all over the state and various states all over the city going in and out of the courthouse for traffic violations or for whatever, court violations or for child support. But we constantly hear from judges, security guards, policemen, employees, clerks, those who work inside the building about them getting a gospel tract and them having read that particular tract. Now, we don't know whether or not the person comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. All we do know is that they're hearing the gospel. And so we don't necessarily see that individual come to our church, but we know that the word of God is being preached. So before we move any further, I'm going to encourage you that if you would like to join the conversation today, call 646-200-4203. 646-200-4203. 4203. He continues to say, and he gives an example regarding D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody once said that he sees every person as though he had a huge L in the middle of his forehead. And he said that I consider him lost until I know he is saved. He says, if you and I have a sensitivity to lost people and to the Holy Spirit, we, like D.L. Moody, will commit ourselves to share, to seek to share Christ with every person with whom we have contact. If we have the opportunity or choosing the topic of conversation, let us direct it to Christ. Every non-Christian and every inactive Christian needs our ministry. As we minister to them at the point of their need, the interest in Christ will be stimulated, and as they receive and follow Christ, they will either go to our own church or to another church or come to our church. The church to which the Lord leads them is secondary. The primary thing is that they commit their lives to following Christ and following Him. So what do we see? We see that he's emphasizing the fact that though that person may not come to your church or he may not come to our church, God will direct that person in the direction that he would have them to go, whatever church he would have them to join. So as we go back to the book of Acts, there's an example right there that the disciples went out and they preached the gospel. If you turn to Acts chapter 20, that was an example of Peter. But here in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, it says how Paul and him writing or a farewell to the church at Ephesus, saying how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything, but was profitable in teaching you publicly and from house to house. So what did Paul do? Paul, in the same manner as we see with Peter, in the same manner as we see with Jesus, and Jesus sending his disciples out two by two, we see that Paul went house to house. He went house to house sharing the gospel. And that is how we know that the church grew from Peter preaching and 3,000 saved. I mean, again, this is another example where Peter was in the marketplace and he preached the gospel to the point where the people were convicted about their sin. And that's the bottom line, guys. Sin, it must be remedied. Sin must be dealt with. And that's the whole purpose of Jesus coming, was to deliver men from their transgressions and sins. And that is the message that we preach, is that Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. And it is his righteousness, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus, for all those who believe. The Bible tells us that they are free from sin. Even though all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we know that they can be free and forgiven of their sin through faith in Christ. So let me encourage you to continue to preach the gospel. That is how men are set free. That is how men are forgiven. And so I think the thing that you have to do, and what we've been talking about before, is the fact that mobilizing, equipping, training, and teaching people how to do that. Because the method that I use, the method that we discussed before, discusses the fact that uses the Ten Commandments, uses the law, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and that all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So why do we share the gospel? By using the Ten Commandments? Because it is the law that quiets, that stops the mouth from justifying itself. It stops the mouth from proclaiming its own righteousness, because all have sinned. All have lied. All have stolen. All have hated, all have lusted. And so what we find that when we use the law helps to shut the mouth. It helps to proclaim or helps to reveal that all men are guilty before God. And so that's why I encourage individuals that, and this is not the only way, but we must mobilize, we must train, and we must teach others how to share their faith. And in doing so, we will see, as we go out and we scatter the seed, we will see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ. But we know that it's the Holy Spirit who does the work. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens the eyes of the person who hears. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers the witness. And also the Holy Spirit is the one who uses the word to bring conviction into the heart of the individual. Now, I mentioned earlier that some people reach their community by survey. Some people use block parties. Some people use bus ministries. Some people have friendship types of evangelism. But I think the bottom line that we find is that we are called to preach the gospel. And I think if we have the social programs, if we're handing out food and clothing and all those things, if we do not share the gospel, we just become a government or a social agency. The role and the responsibility of the church is to preach the gospel. And that is what Scripture clearly instructs us to do. So, I know publicized evangelistic events. I know some people advertise in the newspaper. They have packets, billboards, those kinds of things. But the bottom line, again, let me reiterate, is the fact that we're called to share the gospel, and that's what we see the disciples doing, and that's how the church grew, and that's how churches grow today. And I know many people come up with these different forms of evangelism, but let me encourage you to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Train the people to preach the gospel. Find a technique to teach people, because it's a necessity. We are commanded. Jesus said that we would be his ambassadors and we would be his witnesses. And he said he will give us the power to do that. And that's exactly what he did. He gave us the ability to do that. So let me encourage you to join us again tomorrow for Evangelize for Life. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you.